I am Tracy Ross. Kate Lochte has joined me in the studio along with Sandy Forrest from the Sons of Confederate Veterans. We're going to talk about Saturday's ghost walk and historical tour of the Murray City Cemetery. Sandy, thanks so much for being on Sounds Good today.
Well, thank you, Tracy. Enjoy being here.
You've had a couple of run-throughs. Is it pretty ghosty?
Yeah, we're going to be scary. No, it's not going to be scary at all. We try to do it around this time of the year to, I guess, fill in or join in with the Halloween-type theme as ghost, but the tour that we're going to do is more historical. We're not going to scare people or children or anything like that. We are going to tell about the Confederate soldiers buried at the Murray City Cemetery. There's seven of them. Well, actually, there's 37 out there, but we're going to tell about seven of them this time. And then last year we did seven, this year we did seven, and go on until we get them all told. So the people that are doing it are going to dress up as close to what they think he would have looked like. And then they're going to, as a crowd comes by and stops, then they will start telling about that the person buried there, whether they may be in first person or second person.
And you say that for some of these individuals, the research isn't deep. The facts known isn't deep, but the reenactors are doing an impression.
That's right. They're doing an impression of what the person would have done in the war. They're going to tell what he done in part of the war. In other words, he might have been involved in the actual fighting, or he might have been a legislator in the government of the South or something like that.
A surgeon.
They had surgeons. They had veterinarians. They had farriers, which are people that shoe horses and stuff like that, that actually never pulled a pistol. But you have all that logistics that goes on also, which, in a way, they fought just as hard as the guys out on the front line. And so they will try, and they have, like you said, they have a lot of times a small amount of information to go on. And what we try to do is we try to go back and find out in the county that they lived what was a major occupation of that day. And we try to fill in around that using the facts that we have and taking from the facts what he did. And then before, during, and after the war, how his life was, if he was married or unmarried or had children, had land. So like last year, I had one, and right now, to be honest with you, I can't call his name, but I had just a paragraph or so to go on. But it told how many children he had. I think he had nine children. It does tell I had nine children. I think two of them died at childbirth. And then he owned property here in Murray. He was in the legislature part of it. He was not in the battle, but he was in the legislature part of it. So we're trying to get out and tell people what these men did. We may have someone that is kin to these people.
And can add to the story.
And can add to it later, can come up to us and say, look, I have this information. When you do him again, you can add it to it. Because if this does well, in a few years when we go through all of them, we'd like to come back and do it again.
Have it recurring. Mm-hmm. We're talking with Sandy Forrest about a ghost walk and historical tour Saturday at Murray City Cemetery. First tour begins at 6:30 p.m. Admission is $10 for adults. Children 12 and under are free. And Sandy, I wish you'd sort of set the scene of what was going on in West Kentucky.
Okay. West Kentucky was heated. As there was two newspapers in Kentucky, well, there was more newspapers, but the Courier Journal, which is now one newspaper, used to be two newspapers. The Courier, which was south-leaning, sympathetic to the South, and then the Journal, which was sympathetic with the North. But West Kentucky at the time was known as the South Carolina of the state. The reason being is all of my people came out, my ancestors came out of the Carolinas. And if you talk to the natives that live here, that their families have been here basically since the beginning, they all came out of the Carolinas. And they moved up through Tennessee, up into West Kentucky, maybe even into southern Illinois. And so they had the same ideas, you know, the same thoughts as what they said South Carolina did. They did not want a big government, which was stifling them, taking all the money from farming, but they were not getting anything back. So it was going back to taxes being levied, no representation, you might say. But they seceded on, or was going to try to secede along with the counties west of the Tennessee River in Tennessee. And they were going to be called the State of Jackson. Now, there's a monument over at Mayfield on the north side of the Court Square to this. Strangely enough, at this meeting, May 31st, I think it was, 1860, that these counties all sent representatives to Mayfield, but no one took minutes. There was a newspaper account by a person that attended, but that's all they had. But there's a monument erected over there that tells the date and basically I think something about what happened, but most of it was written down by just a witness that had been there, and he filled in the newspaper. But nobody, like I said, nobody took minutes on the meeting. Well, on that, they didn't do anything at the meeting. So they went back, and Tennessee, as a state, seceded from the Union. And then those counties from West Tennessee, of course, that's what they was wanting to begin with. So they went ahead and went with the state of Tennessee. So actually, in a way, then...
So the West Kentuckians were sort of forsaken.
West Kentuckians, I mean, that took out a big slice. They were going to name the state Jackson. So now that of the Jackson Purchase, which went from the Ohio River down to the Tennessee-Mississippi line. So that took all that out. So there was no more meetings or anything like that. But West Kentucky did have, and Callaway County had legislatures that met in Russellville, Kentucky, formed a committee and went to Jefferson Davis. And Jefferson Davis, being from other side of Hopkinsville, Todd County, he wanted Kentucky in the mix, or he wanted them in the Confederacy. So ironic as it is, center star of the St. Andrew's Cross is the Kentucky Star. And what's ironic about it is that Kentucky as a state did not secede. They tried to stay neutral, and that didn't work. But then the legislature was pro-Union, but the governor, McLaughlin, was pro-South. So this committee went to Jefferson Davis, and he basically just took Kentucky in and put them, but that's the center star. What's ironic, again, I might say, is South Carolina really deserves that spot, but you don't know which star they are. It doesn't say. But like I said, it's history. It's what happened here. Some people say good or bad. It's the history of this area, and you still have a lot of people that are Civil War enthusiasts around here. We just got back from Columbus Belmont, or Columbus State Park, from doing a reenactment over there. And
where there's a wonderful museum.
A wonderful museum at Columbus Park on the Mississippi. It's about an hour from here. And it's a beautiful state park. It's open. It's a beautiful state park, and you can learn a lot over there. Actually, Columbus was the Gibraltar of the West, up on a bluff, and could fire the big 32-pounders miles up the river. Grant came down and offloaded and took Belmont on the other side, and the Confederates vacated from over there, and then they regrouped, and as Grant's men were looting and burning the tents, they came back in and surprised them and drove the Federals away and basically retook the land. With some help of soldiers from Columbus that went over. So, but Columbus was never really touched, per se. Grant went back up, and I think at the time he occupied Paducah and then went around and came down the Tennessee River and took Henry, Fort Hyman, which is now in Callaway County. It's a national park in Callaway County. And the Sons of Confederate Veterans Fort Hyman Camp here in Murray started that. And over a period of time, and lots of help from other organizations and senators and legislatures, we got that, all of us together got that ground preserved for a national park.
And it is a beautiful ground.
It's beautiful. It's pristine. Basically untouched from the time that the soldiers were there, except vegetation has grown back.
But the berms are all
the berms
beautiful.
Are there. They got now. I start to say the national park has been in there, and they've been cleaning off those berms, breastwork, and resod them. They have put up a really nice split rail fence down the road going into the park. There's bathrooms down there now. I think they're working on, they've got the signs up, which is are real pretty signs.
What's the mileage from Murray down 121?
Down to Mount Carmel Baptist Church is where you park. You're looking at about 15 miles.
Yeah, but it's worth it.
Actually, wait a minute. I'll take that back. About 13 miles, because it's 10 miles from, I think, Murray to Concord, New Concord. And then it's about another 3 miles to the church. That's where you turn.
We've really gotten way off of
Yeah, we have. Haven't we? We know we're close to the cemetery.
We're talking with Sandy Forrest, and the focal point we want you to be sure to know about is this ghost walk and historical tour Saturday in Murray City Cemetery off Chestnut Street. Admission is $10 for adults. Children 12 and under are free. The first tour begins at 6:30. But I think the gist is that so many things to see and to understand about where you are here. If you just take advantage of it, it won't cost you much.
I think it's going to be really interesting. We're trying to keep it, each person, to about 5 minutes. And so that's 35 minutes, but you got to count walking time to the next one. So I would say somewhere around 45 minutes, 50 minutes.
And where should people park for this?
Okay, we're going to have people directing parking. But you will go to there's two entrances. What I call, you have a west entrance and an east entrance. You'll go to the east entrance, the one, the closest one, you might say, to 4th Street. And they will direct you towards the back at the north end. And then you'll go and park back there at the mausoleum that will be on the northwest corner of the cemetery.
Everything starts there.
Everything starts there. That we'll have placed there, a table there to accept, you might say, a ticket, which I don't guess we'll really hand out a ticket. But everything will start there. And then we have guides when we get a group together. And then they will take them up to the first one, and then they're going to lead them around and in back. And then, of course, you're free to leave.
Excellent.
So,
Sandy, thank you for coming today.
Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it.
Learned a lot.